Greetings. Welcome to another episode of Drive the Bid. I'm Diego Rosenberg, and I'm here with Derek Shakey. This week, we're going to be talking about cars on Auto Hunter for sale. We're going to have some news, and we're also going to have some reader's rides, and probably we're going to pick apart their photography skills as well. But it's not about picking apart photography skills as much as just showing you what you could do better for photography when you want to sell your car on Auto Hunter, as well as classiccars.com.
That's right. We're here to help, Diego.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. So, shall we begin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. News is on you.
Yes. Yeah, so, Jeep revealed the redesigned 2024 Gladiator midsize truck at the Detroit Auto Show recently. So it's got several new standard features, one of them being the redesigned 7-slot grille. It's got slimmer slots up front, and they've redesigned the antenna. So now it's no longer a mast antenna. It's trail ready and integrated into the windshield. Then you've got 7 new wheel designs, and they've also made improvements as far as safety and infotainment features. So standard across the board is Uconnect 5 with a 12.3-inch touchscreen and standard wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. And in terms of safety equipment, comes with first and second row side curtain airbags, and then the second row has the outboard seat belts have pre-tensioners, and there's been some structural improvements made to help in side impact collisions.
I'm curious how this is going to compete with the Bronco, since the Bronco has had a head start at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, I would see this competing more with like the Ranger Raptor, because that's a new generation. They've gone to that extent. I mean, obviously, you know, the Ranger's not going to have the removable doors and removable top and everything. But I think in terms of layout and size and focus, that would be its most direct competitor.
So this is just a pickup, in other words. This is not a new Jeep.
No. Because they came out with the Gladiator several years ago. So this is, you know, an update, but not a, you know, clean sheet redesign or anything
okay.
like that.
Okay. Very good. Now, my new car news is this Cadillac CT5. You can see for 2024, it's received a facelift. You can see it looks a little bit like some of their EVs, like the Lyric. Is that what it's called?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. So you can see a little bit of the evolution.
I mean, there's always a temptation to say Lyric or something, but yeah Lyric
that
makes
sounds
sense.
Like liqueur for some reason. This screen is 33 inches on both sides of the steering wheel, so to speak. It's a touch screen.
So they went Escalade with the...
Yeah. And according to the Cognoscenti online at Car and Driver, you know, the readers, not the editors and writers, they think this is an improvement over what Cadillacs had, which possibly may not have been a difficult task.
Oh, yeah. The old view system was not the best.
I don't mean the interface. I just mean the dashboard and, you know, how it looks and...
Oh.
Possibly the quality, too. I don't know. No one's really touched the car yet, so probably not quality, but just the design. It seems that Cadillac, if not a lot of American cars, tend to lag in interior design, it seems.
To me, that's always been a thing with GM vehicles. The exteriors would look great, but the interiors just didn't seem to have a lot of ambition to them. But, you know, the new Corvette, I think, fixed that because it matched the drama of the outside with the interior. And even the new Tahoe, I thought, you know, there was something a little more special about the interior. And that big screen definitely brings this into, you know, it modernizes it. What gets me is that kind of goofy looking blob-like shifter, you know, it just doesn't have... To me, Cadillacs, that whole art and science design theme and everything, there's a lot of hard lines, a lot of drama. That just seems like, I mean, and you've seen that in other GM vehicles. Like, I think the Buick LaCrosse that they phased out, I want to say it had a shifter like that. I mean, that's just, you know, strewn about in GM vehicles.
So you think that the Corvette has a quality interior or just is styled that way?
I mean, I didn't have any quality issues when I tested it, But yeah, it was more, I was speaking more about like the flair to the interior.
Okay. So look at this. You can see the face of the CT5, and also the XT4 has a new face as well. You can see, you know, the resemblance, but I'd say this one doesn't share the same design language necessarily with the Lyric and the others.
Yeah, you know, those stacked lights, it kind of makes me think of like a Hyundai or a Kia. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, they're going with the elongated front lighting, which is a Cadillac thing.
Here. I mean, these are the eyes and the end. So, you know, I'm not distracted by this to see what the face is, but I know what you're talking about. If I'm making sense as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just, I'm kind of surprised they did that. But after a while, I mean, you know, it's bound to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I mean, look, it's September. It's time for a model year facelift, and Cadillac gave us two. So I'm cool with that, because it doesn't always happen anymore. So that is our new car news for today. Up next, let's talk about Steve Mignante again.
Yeah.
He's doing better. Yesterday on YouTube, there was an update. They said he's sitting up. Now, I don't really know what that means other than he's getting better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that he is sitting up and reading the newspaper. I don't really know what it means, but he is doing better. So that's good.
Yeah.
So with any luck, he'll be ready for Scottsdale in January.
Yeah. Countdown begins.
So one of the things they have mentioned online is that you can watch his movies. Well, movies are the wrong word, but I'm just old-fashioned. Watch his videos on YouTube constantly, even doing it in the background, just so he gets the hits and he gets the financial investment, because he can't put himself out there in the public eye to make a living.
Not yet.
No. But if you watch his stuff, or at least have it running in the background, that does help.
Yeah.
So as soon as we finish listening to that album today, we can probably do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were listening to first, it was, who was it again? Sam Cooke?
Yeah. Yeah, his greatest hits.
Sam Cooke's greatest hits and Love Forever Changes, which we have to finish. Anywho.
And then Steve Mignante video.
Yes, exactly. So, up next, we've got Reader's Rides. We are, going to make some of you guys stars, or at least the cars, but we are also going to tear into you, if not the photographer. So, apologies, that was not part of the solicitation on Facebook, but that's what we're going to do.
Bait and switch.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, maybe you'd like to start off with this one.
Yes, so this is actually from Collector Car Network's own Stephanie G. She used to own this vehicle. This is a 1966 Ford F-250, and as you can see, it's got the flatbed. And, you know, this is, I think this, at the time at least, was a fitting vehicle for Stephanie, because Stephanie is hardworking and dependable. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would say that about old Ford trucks. So, yes, very fitting. And I was reading about this generation of the F-Series, the fourth generation, and some interesting trivia. That was the generation that Ford introduced the so-called unibody style truck. Now, that's kind of misleading in a sense, because the ladder frame was separate from the body, but the unibody was more to do with the fact that the cab and the bed were joined together. There was no delineation. There was no separation between the two. Now, that not only made them distinctive, but it was also advantageous to Ford, because they were cheaper to produce. And from what I've read, those beds also offered more cargo space. So, making that body, they didn't have to make as many stampings. The assembly was less complicated, because you didn't have to join two pieces. And then the body had a less complicated path through the paint shop.
But this is only the 150, though.
From what I've read, that was available on two-wheel drive F-100s and F-250s.
Okay, so it's 100, there's not a 150. So, what was the second one you said? On some 250s?
Yeah.
Had it? Okay.
And
but
then
not this, obviously.
Yeah, unless there was a ton of fabrication work, but I'm assuming, yeah, this was a four-wheel drive, and it wasn't available with that. But as distinctive as the unibody design was, it only lasted 3 years. It was 61 through 63. But anyway, yeah, this is a good looking vehicle.
Is this what they call a stake truck?
No, because those have difference? Like the wooden stakes on the side.
But you could attach them on the side, maybe, right? I mean, a stake truck without the stakes would look like this, right?
I guess so. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I just call it a flatbed.
But, okay.
But yeah, that's from our own Stephanie G.
Yeah, I have to apologize. I'm not from Texas like Derek, so I know nothing about trucks. So, okay.
Now, here's this is something you know about.
Yes. This is a 1969 Pontiac GTO. Just so you know, I have no names who contributed these pictures or who's the owner, so I apologize for those who are seeking out fame. This is a 69 GTO. I want to point out that there's a lot of space here, and the nose is cut off. And the tail, more than a tail, is cut off. And those don't make for good photographs when you're advertising a car. Obviously, these people are not advertising cars.
But if they were.
Yes. So let's say you'll turn this horizontally, and then you're going to have a lot more room to take a good picture.
Landscape instead of portrait.
Exactly. Layout. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say, but it didn't come out that way. So up next, we have, this is either a 64 or a 65 Ford Falcon. Now, I can't profess to know what PowerPoint's going to do with an image. It probably blew this up and made it a little bit pixelated as it is right now. But that's just a reminder, just in case, when you take pictures of your car to bump up the memory, it's better to have too much memory and a much larger picture that you submit than smaller, because you can always crop pictures. You can always reduce the memory or the size, rather, but you can't do the opposite. If it's too small, you can't make it look any clearer.
Yeah.
So that's just something to keep in mind. One of the problems with that is that not everyone knows how to use their camera.
Yeah, or the software. Now, what's one good thing about this photo, aside from the subject, because that's a cool-looking little car, is, you know, you can see all of the car. As, you know, pixelated as it may be, if this person was advertising, trying to sell this on Auto Hunter, this layout of the photo, landscape, full car shot, that would work.
Correct. So here we have a 1968 Dodge Charger RT. You can tell by the bumblebee stripe. In some ways, it's not a bad picture. It's colorful. The background's kind of nice. I even see a 55, maybe 56 Nomad here. But I'd say also there's a lot of distractions, especially with the new car. If that wasn't there, maybe this picture would come off a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, I don't really... on first sight, I thought... You know, is this some sort of party or whatever? But there's something I like about the photo. I mean, yeah, it definitely has some personality to it. But yeah, there's, again, in terms of selling on Auto Hunter, you would want your car to be the star of the photo. But, you know, this is just a user submitted photo. They wanted it on the podcast. So, you know, the good thing is you can see the car in its entirety.
Otherwise, I like the picture. It's colorful. Just block that.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the other cars in the background are nice cars. You know, it's like, oh, there's a 58 Impala. I see two Nomads. You know, it's enjoyable in many other ways.
Yeah, it's in good company.
Okay, here's a 69 Camaro. I would say, number one, get your finger out. And if you have a picture with your finger, and this is only 3/4 rear view, take another picture. Don't rely on this. I mean, you can crop it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
It's not an issue.
That would not be an issue at all.
He's facing the sun a little bit because you can see this little beam here. So that's not ideal. One thing that's good about this thing, this picture rather, is the wheel is turned slightly to the right. Gives it more of a road-hugging look. I would have closed the garage in this one. so you don't have that distraction with that trash can and whatever else that is, that aerosol can too.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as the car itself, yeah, you can see all of it, you know, and you get the angle helps you see not just the side, but obviously the rear end.
So, I mean, as far as pictures facing the sun, this one came off pretty well. Like sometimes it can be a mess. This one
could have been much worse.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't notice it when I uploaded it. I just notice it now on the big screen.
Yeah, it's faint compared to some of the hot spots I've seen before.
But that finger? So here's a Plymouth. I'm going to guess this is a 41. Maybe it's a 40. I'm not sure. I know it's no earlier than a 40 because of the sealed beam headlights. This one's not bad. I don't know what the distractions are here with the reflection. It may be a person, but doesn't look like one. I'm not sure. To me, it could use more sunlight, but it's not bad. But in the corner, you can see the parking lot with an SUV. I think that's a distraction that's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, this one could be cropped a little bit more on the right. I mean, you would still see some of it, but you would see less, which only helps.
Yeah. And again, you know, personal pictures you're just sending, it's fine for an ad. No. And just so you know, a lot of people do submit the cars like this for the ads. So, you know, this is just par for the course for what a lot we see on Auto Hunter and ClassicCars.com. We're just trying to help you have better, let's say, production for your ads. So here, this is probably a 49 or 50 Dodge, I believe, maybe a Plymouth. You'll have to forgive me, Mopar people. Garages aren't the best place to take pictures. In this case, my bigger beef is that the rear end is cut off and probably the garage door would be look better closed. Not always. We'll get to a picture that doesn't look good closed. But, you know, at the very least, don't cut off the rear of the picture.
Well, the good news is with that peep mirror, you can see the rear end if you're in it. And you got the leg pipes, the spotlights.
And the wall is not too distracting. I mean, sure, you got the American flag, which could be distracting because it's got a stronger color profile compared with the car. But in the end, the wall looks nice. I mean, everything about it, I think, is complementary to the car.
Yeah, I mean, it's fitting. It's a fitting background.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's not like, you know, balloons or something.
Mm-hmm. So here is a 63 Impala Supersport at a car show. There's nothing wrong with this picture. It's at a car show. Sometimes that's all the pictures people have of their cars. This gentleman's a little distracting. I also would say that I read this a long time ago, and I don't see it mentioned often, but I agree with it. It's not a good idea to take pictures on the grass. I think green tends to affect the color of cars. Like this is gold. Gold may have some green in it. Some golds are more reddish. Some are more green. You don't want it to be more green than what it is. So, you know, grass will change the color of a car. It's better to avoid it.
You know, that's something I've never thought about before. But seeing this picture got me thinking, you know, on one hand, yeah, there's people in the background. There's a lot of stuff in the background. So it is relatively busy, right? And obviously you want your car to be, you know, as isolated as possible so the focus is on it. But there's something about this photo that got me thinking, like, you know, when you see an ad for a car, there's a certain, we always try to picture ourselves in that car, you know what I mean? Like there's an aspirational quality to it. And this makes me think, like, you know, seeing a car at a car show that can lend itself to that way of thinking, like, oh yeah, like that'd be cool to like get a car like this and take it to a car show. Like you can, I mean, I could picture myself doing that. So I've got mixed emotions as far as that goes. You know, I think it lends itself to, you know, somebody picturing themselves in that car and taking it to a car show. But at the same time, yeah, it can be distracting because there's a lot of stuff going on in the background.
And also car shows, you have less control of what's going on in the background. You know, so sometimes, you know, patience is a virtue. It's just that how long are you going to wait?
Yeah. How long can you be patient?
So, you know, otherwise, you know, this picture's no better or no worse than a lot of other pictures we see. You know, this is average.
Yeah, we've seen some truly terrible photos.
And some of them are here, even though they're not for sale. Okay, so here again, landscape. This is a 57 Thunderbird. We don't care about all this. We just care about this. Turn the phone horizontally and take the picture. It'll come off a lot nicer. And sure, there's a Beamer here. We're not interested in it, but...
pass.
Otherwise, you know, average picture. Okay, here is a... I don't know the difference, but this is a 69 or a 70 Cadillac Eldorado. I could tell from the taillights it's not a 66 or 67. And I could see the parking lights here, so which would be a 68 and later. But it's difficult to see because it's been cut off. And there's no reason to cut off anything. We want to see the whole car. I think a potential customer wants to see the whole car.
Absolutely, yeah. And I would like to see what the owner of this car does for a living, because I was thinking this was a car you would see in the Scorsese movie Casino, and then you mentioned The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this has a very like 70s mafioso kind of feel to it.
So I think this may be a 38 Chevy. Don't quote me on this. I'm not strong with Chevys of this vintage. I believe the 67s have that thing on the door.
67.
37. Sorry. In any case, you can see here, back to the garage door. Yes, I think it looks better down more often than not, but there's nothing really attractive about this door.
The good thing is you don't get, you know, that blaring white in the background.
Yes, that is true. But the biggest thing is that the front end is cut off.
Yeah.
And for chrome like this, like in these wheels, I would make sure that you don't have a reflection in it. In this case, the photographer, I don't think his reflection is in it, or her reflection. We don't know.
Doesn't look like it.
No, but I don't know what this blob is right here either. But sometimes it's obvious, though. In this case, it's not. Just be careful. That's all.
In the photographer's defense, I am wondering if this looks like a pretty large automobile, if they were, you know, butted up against a wall or something else in the way and they just couldn't.
Oh, I'm sure. Possibly. But, you know, all the more reason not to take a picture in the garage. So when it comes to garage pictures, I think this one comes off very nice in comparison.
I get that.
This is a Willys, presumably. And technically, it's pronounced Willis and not Willys. I learned that a few years ago, but I keep on making the same mistake. So it's Willis. So, yeah, you know, there's some things. I mean, the biggest thing that bugs me about this one is the car behind.
But that can be fixed. I mean, the cropping would be kind of tight on that rear bumper, but it can be done.
And there's a step ladder in the front that I think is a little noticeable. Not too much, but maybe, you know.
It kind of blurs a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And there's a fan behind it. But otherwise, I think the colors are nice. You know, this works better than the other garage ones we've seen.
And you know what, Diego? There's a fan in front of it, too.
I'm going to weep. Okay. This is is this a Chevy or GMC pickup?
Oh, a Chevy.
Okay. I guess Apache is what they're called. And this would be at least a 58 because it's got quad headlights. So that part I know. I don't know how to tear this one apart. I mean, let's say cropping it here, which is obvious. I didn't bother to do it for the presentation. But I don't know. I mean, it would look better with the hood down.
Yeah, it depends on where, like, in the ad it would be. Now, as a lead image, yeah, I'd think it would be better to have the hood closed. But if, you know, I think the idea later on in a listing, if, you know, they had the hood up and they had a tighter shot on the engine, that would be great.
Yes,
here, there's an air of mystery to it, but, you know, you don't want too much mystery when you're posting a car for sale.
You know what's not a mystery? That there's a pickup truck behind it that's a little distracting.
Well, in a bright yellow car next to it.
Yeah, but I almost am not bothered by that in comparison. I don't know. I mean, like thinking like it's a car show setting in some way. The yellow doesn't bother me as much as the pickup truck in the back.
Okay.
But I mean, what do I know? I'm a layperson. I'm just critiquing. Okay. This may be the creme de la creme of photographs for today. This is a 1970 Dodge Challenger. Is this an RT? I mean, with that stripe, it would be an RT. So that's pretty cool, and it's got aftermarket mags, and it seems like no one's watering the grass either. You know, just take it horizontally and get the whole car, you know? So here's a 67 Mustang. I'd say this photograph, the sun should be pointing here and not the other side. We want the illumination to be on the side that we're looking at. You can see also that shadow is in front of the car from our perspective. It's not very helpful highlighting the charms of the car.
Yeah, true, true. And as you know, in my line of work here, it's always good to see the details on the tires, you know, when somebody's listing a car, because the info, you know, the more info we can give potential bidders about what brand of tires, what size is helpful.
Mm-hmm. I think from this photograph, I can see what trim level the cord is also. Do you think it's an EX?
I hope.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not the best picture in that case, but hey, I mean, we're just giving it advice as the pictures come along. So this one, Shay's Photography. You know, in the big screen, this picture looks better than it did in just from the laptop. My biggest complaint about this was there's illumination here in the side of this Eldorado, but in the front, there's no illumination. It would look better if the car was angled in a way where the sun hit it, where it was illuminating the front as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's better than what I thought. Could be improved. And then you have that Rolls-Royce grill and the Cadillac they used to have. Classic Cadillac, I think it used to say.
Mm. Yeah.
CC.
I don't mind that on this. Now, again, we know these are not photos people are using to try to sell these cars. These Correct. Are just user-submitted photos. Mm-hmm. But if they were for selling a car, having a person in the car in the photograph, it's hard to visualize yourself in that seat when you see somebody else in.
Yeah. Unless it's a doppelganger, I guess. So this hot rod, we're not hot rod people. We're debating whether this is a Ford. That's the obvious answer, and I think that's probably what it is. We both like this picture. We think it. You know, I mean, are there things to pick apart about it? Sure, but I think this picture may be the best of the bunch, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, aside from that open door, yeah, the rest of it works because it. There's something about, you know, the vintage of the car and the, you know, the sort of rustic rock and roll kind of slash country backdrop that all kind of works together.
Yeah, this one's nice. So we were debating what this is. I think it may be a 39 Mercury. At worst, it's a 39 or so Lincoln. The Lincoln grill is vertical like this one, like the panes or whatever you want to call those things going up and down. A Mercury should be horizontal. However, the shape of the grill is Mercury's. So, and the wheelbase seems to be shorter the way Mercury's would be versus a Lincoln. So that being said, I do like the photograph overall. Again, not a fan of grass. It will make this beige or cream, let's say, look a little bit more green than what it is, which, you know, I think it, this cream would look better with a little bit more red as like from the wheels than the green from the grass distracting it and adding some kind of tint that may not be so desirable. But this one comes off well.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You know, good lighting, whole car's in the picture. I mean, maybe crop it a little bit more on the right. Good looking car. And then, yeah, you get some wildlife in the background, which
good looking bull.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's character. To me, I don't find that distracting. It's like you're outdoors, you're by a fence, you see, steer, you know, it all works. It all fits.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So that's the end of those. Hopefully, we have not undermined your confidence or your ownership for those of you. You know, I'm having deja vu. There was something we talked about playing with the aperture. I don't remember which one. Was it this one, maybe?
No. Go back.
I mean, it could be for a few of them, but...
Might have been that... Might have been the Plymouth?
This one?
Maybe.
Playing around with the aperture, if you have the luxury to do that with the regular camera versus a cell phone, allows you to blur the background a bit so that it brings the focus a little bit more to the subject.
No, you were right. It was a Cadillac.
Which one was the Cadillac? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the convertible. The other one. Yeah, you were right. Sorry. Yeah, to blur what's going on in the background.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like the background, but blurring that a little bit more will be less distracting. And also maybe more artsy, too. I mean, take pictures both ways. Play around. Find out what works best, you know? It's just like the thing with photography, a lot of it's trial and error. It's not the perfect shot every time.
No.
Even I mean, that's with professionals as well.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of photos that you end up deleting or don't use. Absolutely. It's just all part of the search.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have that Pulitzer Prize winning photograph that's just a one shot and it just happens and the planets are aligned. So anyway, it's time for the Auto Hunter cars. This one's your pick.
Yeah, well, speaking of Cadillac convertibles, this is a little older. This is this is a 76 convertible, and this one is special for a variety of reasons. So this one, according to the dealer, was owned by the same family for 29 years, so that's good. And over the past several years, they put more than $10,000 into a variety of updates, like the ignition, the suspension, the braking system. And being a big Cadillac convertible, probably no surprise that it's got power everything. It's got a Hydro Boost power disc brakes, power steering, windows, locks, convertible top. It's got air conditioning. And then, you know, this year, among others, had four-wheel disc brakes as standard. Now, as far as the updates, I'll give you the highlights. So 2015, the AC system was rebuilt. 2020, it got a lot of new things, like carpeting, sill plates, weather stripping, new retro sound stereo. And then earlier this year, the driver's seat motor, the driver's side window motor, and the convertible top relay were replaced. And then some other parts that have been replaced, a lot of ignition stuff, the spark plugs, the wires, power steering box, and among other things. And then 2015 again, the steering damper and rear air shocks, were installed. Now, what's special about this car, aside from, you know, the ownership history and all the updated parts, is this is a 76 model. So 76 was the last year for the Eldorado convertible. In the brochure, they called it the last of the breed. So 77, that you couldn't get a convertible from them anymore.
But in 82, 84, you could, once again.
It's, to me, I guess it's like, you know, these bands or these singers saying, oh, this is our farewell tour. We'll never be on tour again. And then two or three years later, it's like, okay, this is the farewell tour. It's just a matter of time.
Well, I guess probably in 76, we didn't know, but still, yeah, point taken. I have to point out this photograph is excellent.
Yes.
The garage door in the back is a little bit of a distraction, but what was good about this, aside of the lighting, is that he turned the wheels in or out, whichever direction you're talking about. It looks good.
Well, as far as the garage door, I mean, the Aero, to me, the Aero is more distracting because the blue, while it is, it does stand out, it offers, to me, it makes the body stand out even more because it's a contrasting color.
I mean, I wouldn't fuss with the location, really. I'm just like, we're just have been in that conversation, you know, yeah. We've been, you know, that vein, so to speak. But this is a good picture. This is what I would like to see on all the ads and AutoHunter.
Yeah, great picture, good-looking car, you know, it's what appears to be a nice shape.
And I got to hand it to Cadillac, and I think GM is like this in general. A lot of these cars were introduced in 1971, and yeah, you had bigger bumpers and a bunch of other things, but, you know, for these cars that were produced through 76, the way they facelifted them, I think they did a really good job. I mean, you compare this with the 71 Eldorado. I mean, the 71 looks more... I don't know. This is the wrong word. Authentic in some ways. This looks a lot more modern with the halogen style headlights. It looks good. And I think that's true with a lot of the GM cars. Like you look at a 71 Pontiac Granville and it's got like this neoclassical styling. It's kind of goofy looking, but you look at a 75 or 76 with the new headlights and all that, and I think GM did a nice job bringing them into the future a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and that's saying a lot because the mid 70s like American cars I've seen, not like, seems like not my favorite era of design.
Yeah, for sure.
But for sure. Yeah, just like any generation, there's always going to be some standouts, and yeah, this is a 76. I mean, good looking car. And I mean, it's, to me, when I picture like, you know, old school Cadillac, not like 40s, 50s, but like, you know, 60s, 70s, I always picture a big boat cruiser, you know, and ideally a convertible. And this is just that and a nice color combo.
What I like about it really is the interior. I like the white with the red components. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, white leather. So you got to be careful. But I mean, yeah, it just makes such a statement. And it's definitely, you know, it's a big car and it's got the motor to back it up. This is a 500 cubic inch V8.
Yeah, but it probably only has 180 horsepower. I don't know what it is. I mean, sure, it's big, but it's low compression era. It's, you know, it's probably a 0-60 in at least 10 seconds, I imagine. that's not great.
Yeah, I can imagine maybe even longer. Well, yeah, I just marvel at it because I mean it's just a big number. Yeah, granted, yeah, horsepower wasn't high at all. But I also kind of have a sentimental connection to these because the best man at my wedding, Jake, he had a 74, I want to say. I think it was a Coupe de Ville or Eldorado, but anyway, it had just a giant V8 in it, you know, big long cruiser, and you know, the wheelbase was so long and the suspension was so soft. I remember we would go through his neighborhood in like, you know, when we were in college, and it had those real wide speed bumps in there in the neighborhood. And he would just go over those at like 30 miles an hour. You didn't even feel it. It just sailed over everything.
When I was in high school, my dad had a 75 Coupe de Ville. So I do have experience with the car. So I understand. I also took it airborne, but that's another story.
How fast did you have to get it going to get it airborne?
I don't know. When I'm in the air, I don't care about how fast I am.
You're free.
So my choice for my AutoHunter pick right now is this 66 Oldsmobile Toronado. Now, let me clarify something. This picture's chopped. Part of it is because PowerPoint does that. The other part is that this dealer that is selling it, for whatever reason, they didn't quite get it without having some of it chopped already. They're usually good with this stuff. So I just want to, you know, if you see this and you see the dealer, they usually do a better job. So I'm not taking the task. I just want to let you know that normally they deserve kudos. So who knows what happened. But you can see that 66 Toronado. What I like about this versus, let's say, the 67, I like the horizontal grille. In the 67, the headlight lids are smooth with the body. And I think it's a cleaner look. But the 66, when someone pointed out to me, these are like air intakes. I mean, not functional, but that's like what they're supposed to be. I think that was a very nice touch. So the 66, I'm all in.
I always like these.
And this is a Toronado Deluxe. A lot of people don't know they had two trim levels for the Toronado. The Deluxe was much more common. I mean, let's say, is the Deluxe the standard or the option or the higher line one? I think the Deluxe in this case is probably the higher line one. That definitely was more popular.
Yeah, well, and then you look at the interior content, like you got the straps on the door panels, and then you have the door handle.
Yeah, rear passenger. You're right. So this is the Deluxe is the, because, you know, Deluxe could be the standard model and they want it to sound fancier. I think Nash did that in the 50s, maybe.
Oh, okay.
So it's hard to keep track. I mean, look, Dodge Coronet Deluxe was the bottom of the line, and then they had the Coronet 440 and the Coronet 500. So, I mean, it could go either way. The back of the Toronado is great. It's got the semi-fastback roofline. It's got the cam back. The body lines were, you know, from through 1970 was the same, even though they changed the styling front and back. The side always remained the same. One thing I like about the doors is that if you're trapped in the back seat, they've got those door handles for you.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I never noticed that the vertical, what are those lights called again?
Courtesy lighting.
Thank you. Never seen it vertically like that, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice it until you pointed it out. Yeah, and then they've got the real wide armrests, too, as part of the Deluxe package.
And then the drum speedometer I've always liked, where the needle stays there, but the drum rotates. And I know Citroën did a similar thing, probably a few other companies. I think Studebaker in the 50s, like around 58, maybe they did something similar. I've always liked that. I always thought it was kind of cool.
It's distinctive.
Yeah, for sure. And you can see there's gauges everywhere, which is nice because most cars don't have gauges, at least standard they don't.
And then the steering wheel is very distinctive. It almost makes me think of like an old airplane.
Yeah. Although I think it looks a little dated. Like, I mean, sure, this is 66, but if you had the same thing in 69, it would look dated, I think. Like, this is definitely mid-60s. Like, This is the zeitgeist of leading American design in the 60s, in the middle of the 60s, rather. So that is all for Auto Hunter for today. And it's also for Drive the Bid. So we'd like to thank you for watching or listening, whatever you're doing with this podcast. Thank you for your contribution, Derek. We will be returning with Drive the Bid with even more hijinks and more evolution on how we take this podcast further. So it remains to be seen what that is, but Derek and I will be working hard on it. For now, thank you very much and have a good day.
Thanks, y'all.